Most places in the United States, if we got out of this valley, we could see the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, Cassiopeia, Cepheus, Draco the Dragon, and possibly some others. Circumpolar means no matter what time of the year you go out, you can still see that constellation, assuming it's night, of course. A light year is another term. Light year means it's a distant measurement. If we try and say how far it is from here to some star, we're going to be talking trillions and million miles and this type of thing. So miles don't make much sense. To give an example, the distance from the Earth to the Sun is 93 million miles. But we use a term that is 8 light minutes away. Because from the time light leaves the Sun to get to the Earth, that takes 8 minutes. So when we talk of how far it is to a star, the nearest star we have to us is 4.3 light years. That means it takes 4 light years from light to get to that star to here. So actually, when we look at that star, we're looking at what it looked like 4 years ago. To give an example, we want to talk about miles. I don't have that written down. It's 93 million miles from here to the Sun. It's 300,000 times that far to that next star. So for miles, it really doesn't mean too much. Example of getting an idea of how far a light year is. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That means light would go around the Earth, all the way around the Earth, 7 times in 1 second. And we're talking this star, it takes 4 years for the light to go that far. So it is a long ways. Magnitude is related to the stars. We talk about first degree magnitude, second, third, fourth, and up to fifth. First is the brightest. It makes a difference on how big or how bright the star actually is and how far away it is. A very bright star, a tremendous distance, may be like a fourth magnitude. There may be a star that's not actually as big, but because it's much closer, could be a higher magnitude, a second or third. Ecliptic. The ecliptic path is a path that the Sun follows. Or, actually, we're the one moving, but it looks like the Sun moves to us. The ecliptic path. All 12 signs of the zodiac are on the ecliptic path. So, basically, is the Sun, the Moon, and the planets all appear to be in pretty much that same area. We aren't going to find the planet clear up here. It's going to be close to what we call the ecliptic path. Constellations are not something that's actually up there. They're figments of people's imagination. Most constellations are 2,000 years old or more. And most of them are based on Roman and Greek myths. Cassiopeia, Cepheus, Perseus, Pegasus, the winged horse. They're all from Greek and Roman myths for the most part. And can see something else. Well, those stars, like the Big Dipper, those stars we group together. But that doesn't mean that they're close at all. From our viewpoint, they look close. But one may be 20 light years from us, and the one that appears to be next to us could be 200,000 light years away. So just that they could be like this, but to us it all appears rather flat. So they look somewhat together. Astrology and astronomy. Astrology is the belief that the stars determine our future and what happens to us in our life. Most people say, I don't want to offend anyone, astrology is a bunch of junk. It's not the scientific part, it's I don't know if you call it supernatural or whatever, where they read the stars and say, this is what your future will be, and so on. That's what I read. I looked in, of course, all 3 of these books are written by astronomers. And, of course, every book says astrology doesn't mean anything. I can find plenty of other books that would say the opposite. I have never studied astrology very much. I can't even go through and name all 12 signs of the zodiac. astronomy is the study of the solar system, the planets, the stars, the sun, and so on. Okay, try and give you some idea of what we're talking about. Mostly it's space. If I would set, the example they use is a large pumpkin here in the middle of the room. That's like, let's say it's 2 feet in diameter. We set a pumpkin there representing the sun. The Earth is the size of a small pea at the garbage dump. In between, we have a couple other planets. But that's how much space. Can you imagine going from something that size out into space and trying to find a small pea out there by the garbage dump? The biggest planet we have is Jupiter. That'd be by the vehicle bridge, where we go down and go across to go up to the garage. All the planets vary in size from the apple, like which is Jupiter, down to, like they say, a large poppy seed. Give you another example. The Earth is that small pea sitting out on the garbage dock down there. The moon is 6 inches from the Earth and is the size of a poppy seed. So, you know, our distances, just to give a comparison, are big. Our solar system is the sun. We have 9 planets. We have asteroids, which are like small planets, maybe some 100 miles across, some even smaller than that. Most of the asteroids are between Mars and Jupiter. If we take, we have the sun first, then there's Mercury, then Venus, then Earth, then Mars, then Jupiter, and most of the asteroids, these small planets, are in that area. We also have meteoroids, and various other things floating around in there. The smallest planet is Mercury, which is the closest to the sun. That's half the size of the Earth. Jupiter is 11 times bigger in diameter than the Earth. If we take all the planets, all the asteroids, all this other stuff, and put it into one big ball with the sun makes up 99% of the total. You take 1% of that mass and then scatter it out all over, and you get the rest of the solar system. Our solar system, I'm not sure how people would picture it as being round or whatever. It's round in one direction, but it's pretty flat. All the planets, instead of having one planet going this way and another one this way, they're all basically the same. Mars is here, Earth is here, Jupiter, so on. They're all pretty much on the same level. We are in the galaxy, the Milky Way.
What's the main reason for that?
They have different theories, and I'm not sure. Okay, we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and that's the same way. They say it's 100, let me look here. The Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years from one end to the other. And it's only 16,000 the other way. So it's like a dish also. And I don't know the reason for that. Yes, Chris?
When you were explaining light years, how did you say that about going around the Earth and the distance?
Just to give an example, the diameter or the circumference of the Earth is 25,000 miles. In 1 second, light goes 186,000 miles, or the same as going around 7 times that distance. If you could flatten out the Earth, it would take 7 of those, and light would go that in 1 second. Henry?
Is the Milky Way galaxy, is the plane of the galaxy the same as the plane of the ecliptic?
I don't know. You know, it's so big, I'm not sure on that. Yeah, I'm willing to ask any questions, and I may be able to answer one or two of them, but I'll try. The Milky Way, if we look at it now, is pretty much this way. It is a main line. And we're moving, all the stars are moving. Like They give pictures in these books of what the Big Dipper is going to look like in only 25 million years or something, because the stars are all moving in other directions too. But we seem to be, all the different stars in the Milky Way system are kind of circling around also, somewhat of a center point.
But if we were in the same plane, wouldn't the planets be lined up in that Milky Way band?
I don't know. They could be. It seems like they would be, because all the planets rotate the same direction. All the planets circle the sun in the same direction. So there seems to be a lot of similarities in that. Oh, and they say there's 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, but not all the stars are in the Milky Way. We have a lot of other ones. I remember being in, it's called Great Sand Dunes National Monument in Colorado. And I was out there, and the sand is so fine, you can't even hold it in your fingers. They can't use it for cement because it's so small that it just won't hold anything. And we had a ranger talk one night on constellations in the galaxy and stuff. And this is like 6 square miles of sand blown up against the mountain. Some of these are 600-foot sand dunes. And he said there's more stars than there are grains of sand in that particular monument. And again, you're getting to numbers where you can't count either one, so who's going to prove him wrong? Another thing that people could be kind of confused on is, how do we determine that star is 56 light years away, or whatever it may be? They do it partly with trigonometry, and I'm not going to go through with that. But they use something called the parallax method. If we have the Earth out here, and let's say our star is up here. And this is exaggeration, because the Earth is going to look like it's right here, but I really expanded it to make it look this way. So they, figuring the Earth is at a 90-degree angle, they measure this angle to the star, which is going to be some small angle. 6 months later, when the Earth is over on this side, they measure again. And then with those two angles and trigonometry, they can figure out how far it is away. And it makes such a slight difference, just like a thousandth of an angle degree. But by the Earth going around to the other side, then they know approximately what this distance is. They can determine the other one. They also talk about, to mention some other stars. They say the Sun is an average-sized star. It's not particularly bright. It's not one of the real cold ones or small ones, whatever it may be. Otherwise, they give you a couple examples. Antares is one of the bigger known stars that we can see. They say, and using the same example, where our sun is our 2-foot pumpkin in here, Antares is a star that would go from here to the orbit of Mars. Mars is between Earth and Jupiter, which puts us out halfway between, let's say, the covered bridge. So we're going from here to the covered bridge and the same distance in the opposite direction. And our sun is a 2-foot pumpkin. Another star, Antares, would be that size. But it's hard to get this idea. The density of that star, they say, is 1/2,000th as thick as the density of air. You know, which we can't even imagine there being anything then. But that's the density of that. That's what's called a red giant, and it's a very cool or cold star. Cool as being compared to other things.
Does that other star have things going around it too?
It very well could. Most stars probably have some stuff rotating around it.
Would that be like perhaps mainly vapor then, kind of a thing?
Some types of gases and stuff, but not something that we have a very good understanding. Now, how they figured that out, I don't know. But then they talk about white dwarfs, which are a very hot, small star. If, I guess, this could, well, a pint would be two of these. A pint from one of the dwarfs weighs 15 tons for the opposite end of the density. So something twice the size of this cup would weigh as much as 15 tons taken off of that.
What is the quasar fitting with the red giant? Is that another game?
I don't know well enough on that. I saw it in the books and I kind of skipped over it today, so I won't even try and answer on that.
Can't even figure out how much that cup weighs.
I have no idea.
Are the red dwarfs and white giants, or is it a complete, the bigger they get, the more, the less
they tend to be cooler.
The smaller, the more dense.
If we talk about stars, the brightest is a blue-white, is the hottest and the brightest. And then on the other end is a red. And I don't think there's red dwarfs and white giants, as far as I know. It's, I think, the cooler, the bigger.
Does it relate specifically to the life of the star, or not?
Not necessarily, but somewhat. They all go through different stages. Mm-hmm. So a star in itself will get bigger as it cools in its life, but it may not be as big as another one. As long as we're talking about, I guess, stuff in the sky, I can briefly go through some of the things on the moon. The phases of the moon, it takes like 29 and a half days, or we say like 28 days, 29 days, for the moon to go from full moon to new moon. The new moon is when the moon is between the sun and the earth, and we can't see any of the reflection, so we don't get any light. That's called a new moon. The complete opposite is when it's over here. And again, the earth is not blocking the sun necessarily. It's, so the sun rays are coming here, and from the earth, we can see that entire side lit up. When it's over here, or here, it's called a quarter moon, because it's a quarter of the way around in rotation, but we see half of it. Like this half will appear dark, and this half will be lit up, called a quarter moon. Yes?
I've just misunderstood your drawing of it. If, how can the moon be between the sun and the earth at night? I don't understand.
Because the moon rotates every 29 days, it goes around, the earth is spinning. So, you know, half the time the moon is in between us. We always think of the moon as seeing that at night, mm-hmm. but you can see it during the day sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or there's nights you can't see it.
When you look at the moon, it's never in between you and the sun, is it? That's what I'm getting at. You'd have an eclipse, surely, if the moon was between.
If it's directly, sun. Yes. Yeah, but it's close to in between us, but not exactly in between. In other words, it's not at a point where we're getting the eclipse, but it's in there. Again, Think where that small pea out there by the garbage dump and got this poppy seed mm-hmm. going around. So it's not very often going to be in a place where we're getting the big shadow.
Yeah. Tom, can you explain the gravity pull on the tides from the moon?
Okay, I'm going to get that next on here. Okay, so these are the different, these two are called quarter moons, new moon, which where we see nothing really, and full moon where we see all of it. Do any of you know what the moon is called anywhere in this half?
One is called lunar.
Okay, lunars, do you know? Crescent is going to be over here somewhere, where we're just seeing a little bit from our angle. I guess a crescent moon is going to look like that. Crescent is very small. I learned this since I've been up here at Holden. I think it's reading the star chart. This is called, when it's between the quarter moon and the full moon, it's called a gibbous moon. So it looks kind of, to us, it would appear to be something like this, where it's over half, where it's kind of a bulging or fat area. Another neat thing about the moon, it's almost like the moon has a heavy side, because we're always looking at the same face of the moon. As the moon goes around us, I guess we'll say, like if this is the Earth, we would think of things as rotating this way, so we'd see all sides. The moon rotates like this and keeps that same point toward the Earth. We didn't see the back side of the moon until we sent a spaceship up that went around the moon. Like, this I thought was interesting when I read it tonight. It says, as the moon revolves around the Earth, it rotates on its axis, keeping almost the same face turned toward us. A slight wobble in the moon, due mainly to a small difference in the line in times of revolution and rotation and to the tilt, has allowed us to see 59% of the moon's surface. So instead of seeing exactly 50, where if it was exactly the same, we see 59%. A space rocket will be needed to see the other 41%. So someday if they come up with a space rocket, then we'll see the backside of the moon. They have a picture of the moon's surface in here. It says an artist's conception of landscape, because they've never seen it yet. They're still guessing what it would probably look like.
Say, Tom?
Yes?
Do you know why it is that sometimes the moon rises just like 40, 45 minutes after the night before?
All right.
Some nights it's like an hour, hour and a half.
It should be pretty much the same.
It varies a lot, though.
Yeah, it does.
We've studied some charts and jitters and things.
You mean the interval changes?
Yeah. Like one night it'll be 20 minutes later than it was the night before, and the next night it'll be 40 minutes later. We're trying to watch the moon rise all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We miss it.
Does that vary from season to season?
That could be. I don't know on that.
You're it's, not, I never kept track of it, but I think that's true. I'm just wondering sometimes if that varies.
It takes 24 hours for the Earth to spin on its axis. It takes about 28 days for the moon to go around. So if you end up dividing these two, it comes out to an average of 51 minutes later every night that you'll see the moon, because it's not rotating quite. If it was a 24-day rotation, the moon would be 1 hour later every night. But it's a little more than that. So if we see the moon up here at 9 o'clock tonight, it's going to be 50 minutes later the next night before it would get back to that same spot. So they get a little bit slower, a little bit behind every night. For tides, the sun has a much larger gravitational pull because it's so much bigger, but the moon is so close that it has a bigger effect. The moon is about twice as strong as the sun as far as the effect it has on our water, on the tides. If we have, this is the Earth, this is the moon, and we have the sun here. If it's in approximately a straight line, the moon is going to be pulling this way, and the sun is going to pull this way. So the water tends to pile up at those points. You know, obviously not completely, but It makes several feet. So we're pulling the water those two ways. This is going to be a very high tide because they're working together. They're pulling in the exact same way or the exact same line. This is called a spring tide, and that's the highest tide you'll get. You'll also get that exact same high tide if the moon and sun are lined up with each other, because they're both pulling this way. And you get the high thing here, and for some reason it balances out on the other side also. It doesn't pull things all the way around the earth. So when you get a tide on this side, you'll get the same thing on the other side. The other is a name, Neap. Is that how it's pronounced, Carl? Neap tide. N-E-A-P. And that's when it's 90 degree angles. The earth, the moon, and the sun. So they're pulling this way and this way. The moon is stronger, but the sun's trying to pull the water over here. The moon's trying to pull it there. So we'll get a little bit of a tide toward the moon because that has a stronger tide pull, but not a very high. These will be the weakest tides you'll see because they're working against each other. And then if the moon is here, it's going to be somewhere in between because they're pulling closer to the same direction. So Neap is the lowest tides you'll get because they're opposites. The spring is the highest tides because the sun and moon are working together. Chris?
When it pulls the water towards it, does that mean it's pulling the water away from the shore?
Depending where, yeah. Like if you go to I got to see these a week ago. I was out at Ozette, which is on the coast, and there was several feet of difference from high tide to low tide because the water was being pulled out away from that shore.
Simon? Does it actually occur in spring or not? This
no.
Tide particularly?
Well, I mean,
it's nothing.
It doesn't relate to spring as we know it. I'm not sure why the name. Cindy?
It almost seems like, I mean, just visiting the ocean.
Yeah, remember this is Iowan talking. So.
Well, no, I was just thinking that, like, when there's low tide, is it basically the same difference? Say it's a -2 tide, and then the high tide would be 4 feet, you know, or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 6 feet difference. And you have a high tide, and say low tide is high tide be 8. Does that variance stay about the same at all?
Yeah, it doesn't stay the same because the tides of the ocean vary with the wind.
So there's other factors in with it. But
up river, then you're going to this, but out of the ocean, the wind makes a big factor.
Well, I've been at the ocean when the tide comes in and goes out again. So that means that as it goes out, that the moon is just moving a little further over a different area, and that's why it's lost.
The moon, instead of being up here, has gone this way, or it's pulling, so the tide's going to kind of follow it. The water pulls with it.
The thought of tide was a lot more than about the tides I've seen. Will it vary from one part of the world to another? I always felt we had about an average of 15 feet tide difference between the high and the low tide.
Yeah, there's some fjord in Europe. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it has the highest tides in the world constantly.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's 50-some feet.
Yeah.
That's what Alaska runs.
Well, I remember being in Alaska, and they warned us about being in a boat because when the tide changes, it comes in as a wall of water. You know, they said it would be like a foot wall just comes in all at once. It happens so quickly, and I don't understand that, or there's geography and stuff involved. That makes sense. That makes sense. It's coming in, and we just keep tunneling it down. That's on the turn-again arm up near Anchorage. Other questions before we try some other? Okay, another thing that people don't necessarily understand or can be confusing is we talk about spring constellations, summer, fall, winter. Spring constellations mean the constellations that you can see the easiest on the 1st of April. At 9 p.m. So that's just your reference point. At 9 o'clock, if you go out in the spring, these are the constellations you should see. That means that our sun is here, the earth is here in its yearly trip around the sun. So that's the stars that are going to be over in this direction. In the winter, okay, if this is spring, summer, they use the 1st of July. For fall, they use the 1st of October. And for winter, they use the 1st of January. And that's the ones that will be easiest to see at 9 o'clock. So, again, it's always the ones that are the opposite side of us and the sun. So it'd be the stars here. Or winter, it would be the stars out in this direction because we're over here.
Is the sky, has anybody been on the other side, you know, the world? Is the sky completely different down there? Like in Australia?
If you stay in the northern hemisphere.
But I mean, like in Australia.
Yeah.
It's completely, would we just feel really, looking at the sky, would you feel really strange?
Well, I slept on top of a Land Rover in Kenya one night, and that's right on the equator. So I can see quite a few of what we can see, but I can also see more. It's just, okay, if this is the Earth and we're right here, this is our line of vision here. And at that time, I was here, so my line of vision is this way. So everything in this area overlaps and I can see in both. This is all new to me, but I lost this much. So it's going to change as you go north or south. It's going to change. But if I would have gone over like to this where the latitude was the same, it wouldn't make any difference. I'd see exactly the same thing. So going around the Earth doesn't change anything. But going north and south does, or changing your latitude. Another misconception or something that I didn't realize until a year ago, what's the sign for right now? Does anyone know? Have a birthday now?
Aries.
Okay, Aries. If it's Aries right now, most people would assume that means you could go out and look at Aries. It's the exact opposite. You see Aries 6 months from now. Because if Aries is our sign, that means right now Aries is over here somewhere. The sun is in the house of Aries. If you could see Aries, the sun would be in the middle of it. So what we see is whatever the sign is for, what would that be, like October? Or whatever 6 months from now is. So it's the exact opposite. You see your sign 6 months from when your birthday is. Because the house is in, or the sun is in the house of Aries. Or the sun is in the house of Aquarius, whatever it may be. You see exactly this, no matter where you are on the Earth, you'll see the same stars. Because we can only look at what's the opposite way from the sun. So, you know, the people on this side, they're going to get rotated out tomorrow or tonight or whatever. So they'll still be looking at the same things.
Can you say just the opposite when you said about what you saw?
No, if you're at the same latitude, you'd see the same stars.
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying, down in Kenya, I was just down further on the Earth. So my field of vision was everything. These stars I couldn't see when I'm here because the Earth blocks them. The horizon blocks them. But all these stars are exactly the same because I can see those from here. I can see those from the other place. Well, this is all overlap in this area. I could see this from Kenya that I can't see from here. I could see these here that I couldn't see.
But it wouldn't be Aries. You could never see Aries until 6 months later, no matter where you are.
Oh, right. Right. No one can see Aries now. Or.
It's sun there.
Yeah, the sun. Like, here's the Earth. No matter where we are in the Earth, that doesn't make any difference. No matter where we are, Aries is still blocked by the sun or outshone by the sun.
But would there be some constellations, if I lived in the bottom of South America, that I couldn't see at all?
You probably couldn't see the Little Dipper, probably not the Big Dipper. You probably couldn't see Little Dipper, Big Dipper, Cassiopeia, Cepheus, the ones that are clear up north for us. You would lose those.
Are the signs of the zodiac? I think maybe you said this earlier. Did you say that they're on the same axis that we, the same plane that the solar system?
That the sun is, that the planets are.
So you can see those, therefore, from more or less anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Other than if you were right up on the poles, you might have difficulty then.
Yeah.
Right,
but you would probably still be able to see those. Because the Earth, if this is the sun, we think of the Earth as being probably exactly flat, but actually it's 23 degrees off. So you can always see that, the constellation, the zodiac, no matter where you are. That's why we get our seasons also. Since we live up here in the northern hemisphere, you know, now we've got a bad angle. In the winter we have a bad angle. In the summer we come around over here and we're getting more of the sun than the southern hemisphere because of the tip. If the Earth's axis was exactly perpendicular to the sun, it'd be the same thing year round. It'd be like March 21st all year round. 12 hours light, 12 hours dark. Same temperature, whatever. There'd be no change.
That's pretty clear, isn't it? Don't they have 12 hours of light and 12 dark all year round?
Very close. It's a few minutes variation, but not much.
Is it true that they have exactly the same amount of total daylight and total darkness on every part of the Earth? Only it's divided up differently?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like above the Arctic Circle, in the summer, you'll get light all day round. But that's going to be balanced out on the other end. So I'd want to move from one pole to the other if I was going to live on those. The planets that we can see, Mercury is the closest to the sun. Only rarely can we see that. And it's going to be very low on the horizon in the evening or morning. But don't expect to see Mercury. That happens very rarely. We can see Venus quite often, which is in morning or evening. Why is it always morning or evening?
Close,
you have an idea.
To the horizon, close to the sun.
Okay, it's between us and the sun. So we have to be looking pretty much toward the sun in order to see that. So that'll only be morning and evening.
Venus is real, real bright, right? Is Mercury not that bright?
No. Mercury is much smaller and further away, too. And then the stars, or the planets we see the easiest, are outside of us because we're looking away from the sun. Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn.
And they're usually in the middle of the night?
They can vary. They can be pretty much any time during. Because if this was the sun here, it could be clear over here, but it'll be outside of us somewhere. And then you can't see any of the others.
This wouldn't be
Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto. We can't see any of those.
No.
Okay.
Tom, are the stars not going to vary in shape like the moon does? Because of the way, the angle at which the light reflects from the sun.
The stars have their own light. The stars are the stars are also suns.
Oh,
or I should say
no,
this.
Not the stars, sorry, the planets.
The planets.
When they, you know, they
yeah.
see them at this angle, they're going to be reflecting the light.
If you had a powerful enough telescope,
so
you could.
Do,
but for us, it's so far that we won't get that difference. Again, we're talking about, if we use the example of the Earth being at the garbage dock and the sun here,
yeah, right.
we're talking about 6 inches compared to clear out to the vehicle bridge for the next planet, for Jupiter. I think I'll go over a few. Well, I think everybody's, pretty much everybody's favorite constellation is Orion. We can't see that anymore. It's one of the most obvious ones. It's a winter constellation, and it's down before we can see that. The stars rotate through what we can see at 9 o'clock in the spring. We see it a different time somewhere else or some other time of the season. The stars are 4 minutes earlier every night. So if you look at a star, let's see, if you look at it at 9 o'clock tonight, it's going to be 8:56 tomorrow night when it's in that same spot. It's 1/365th of the rotation, because it takes 365 days for the Earth to go around the sun. So you have to divide it by 365. It comes out to 4 minutes. With just, 4 minutes difference. Well, it goes the same way. The morning's gonna start taking away stars 4 minutes. Or what happens is the stars we see now, as we get towards summer, we're gonna lose those into the evening. They're going forward into the day. So we can see booties very well right now. By summer, that's going to be up like late afternoon, so we won't be able to see it anymore.
Aren't the stars moving too?
Not, yes, but not enough that we can tell. You know, the big, you know, in a few million years, we could see a difference, or they would appear at different places.
Because they're so far away, it's
yeah. It, the distance is just so great.
Aren't they actually like they appear red or blue? In accordance with whether they're going away, relative to us, away from us or towards us?
No, that's on their, how hot they are.
Sure.
On the temperature, whether it's like an old star that's dying out and, or a warm star. Then I'll do just a couple things on constellations. Let's say this is a Big Dipper. And it's the one that most everybody will recognize. If you're just learning the stars, or if you know them fairly well, that's where to start from. So you find the Big Dipper first. If you want to find the North Star, you use these two pointer stars, the opposite end or the outside end of the Dipper. That points to Polaris. And Polaris relates to the pole, North Pole. That is the only star in the sky that will be the same place year-round, because it's exactly above the, or almost exactly above the North Pole. So as we spin, that's going to appear to be in the same spot. Now the Little Dipper is a disappointment to most people, because they think that should be pretty prominent. The Big Dipper is very obvious. The Little Dipper isn't. And the Little Dipper, you can see the North Star, and you can see the two stars on the other end. The rest you can see, but they're really faint. So it makes up the handle and then the stars. But all you're going to see very clearly of the Little Dipper is the North Star, which is the end of the handle, and the two stars out here. But you use these two stars to point to the North Star. Next, take the curve of the handle. So instead of pointing straight out, it's going to kind of curve around. And there's a bright star over here called called Arcturus. And that's part of a constellation called Bootes. And again, I'm not going to really draw it out or explain it because you almost have to see it. But you use this to point to Arcturus, which is really a bright star. If you use these two, part of it disappeared. If you use these two stars, that's going to point to Leo the Lion. Let's say our North Star's up here somewhere. If you use this star and this one with the North Star, that points to Cassiopeia, who, as legend has it, is the queen of Ethiopia, husband or wife of Cepheus, mother of Andromeda, and all that type of stuff. Cassiopeia is one that people know because that's what's called the lazy W. In this side, probably is almost down like that. That's another fairly common one, Cassiopeia. Then we have Draco the Dragon, which kind of comes around between these two, between the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. And some other. And I don't know what to tell you besides that, because it's, I can give you a lot of things, but mostly you have to see it. Again, this book, you could look through that, like on these pages here for circumpolar. And I like the pictures they have, because maybe I don't have an artistic imagination. I like to see what they say they're talking about, or have an idea. And the main way I learned constellations, I've kind of learned a little bit over the years, but not very much. Last summer, I think I went out one night and found 15 constellations. Not because I knew them, because I took a flashlight, that book, and I wrapped up in a blanket laying on the volleyball court. So I take my flashlight, look, turn around until they had it lined up like the picture, and because they've got a little arrow that says north on each of the pictures. So I turn until I've got that pointed north and then try and match it up. And that's the way you learn it, I think. I don't know of any other way. Did any of you that were here, do you remember seeing that lunar halo a month or two ago?
Yeah.
There was one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. Or it was the biggest I've seen. That was, it's where the light is refracted from the sun, from the moon, by thin, icy, real high clouds. So it made a huge ring around it. And that was, I don't remember, a month ago or something. It was pretty spectacular.
What is it again now?
It's thin. It's real thin, icy clouds, very high up. Yeah, it refracts it and causes it to be a circle like that. I think that's all I have.